If you would please open your Bibles to the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk. I thought that was pronounced Habakkuk. I heard a preacher say Habakkuk. Well, it is pronounced Habakkuk by some, and Habakkuk by others. And this morning, we're going to say Habakkuk, because that's the way I learned it from people who know these things years ago, before I encountered other people who know these things and say it the other way. So we're sticking with what I learned as a child so that you can learn as a child what I learned as a child and grow up to be as twisted as me. Habakkuk, all right? Old Testament prophet. Just three short chapters. This is God's word. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet received. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwelling places not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like a vulture swooping to devour. They all come bent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. They deride kings and scoff at rulers. They laugh at all fortified cities. They build earthen ramps and capture them. Then they sweep past like the wind and go on. Guilty men whose own strength is their God. O Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, we will not die. O Lord, you have appointed them to execute judgment. O Rock, you have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? You have made men like fish in the sea, like sea creatures that have no ruler. The wicked foe pulls all of them up with hooks. He catches them in his net. He gathers them up in his dragnet, and so he rejoices and is glad. Therefore, he sacrifices to his net and burns incense to his dragnet. For by his net he lives in luxury and enjoys the choicest food. Is he to keep on emptying his net, destroying nations without mercy? I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, he is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous will live by his faith. Indeed, wine betrays him. He is arrogant and never at rest because he is as greedy as the grave and like death, is never satisfied. He gathers to himself all the nations and takes captive all the peoples. Will not all of them taunt him with ridicule and scorn, saying, "Woe to him who piles up stolen goods and makes himself wealthy by extortion. How long must this go on? Will not your debtors suddenly arise? Will they not wake up and make you tremble? Then you will become their victim. Because you have plundered many nations, the peoples who are left will plunder you. For you have shed man's blood. You have destroyed lands and cities and everyone in them. Woe to him who builds his realm by unjust gain, to set his nest on high, to escape the clutches of ruin. You have plotted the ruin of many peoples, shaming your own house and forfeiting your life. The stones of the wall will cry out, and the beams of the woodwork will echo it. Woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed and establishes a town by crime. Has not the Lord Almighty determined that the people's labor is only fuel for the fire, that the nations exhaust themselves for nothing? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Woe to him who gives drink to his neighbors, pouring it from wineskins till they are drunk, so that he can gaze on their naked bodies. You will be filled with shame instead of glory. Now it is your turn. Drink and be exposed. The cup from the Lord's right hand is coming around to you, and disgrace will cover your glory. The violence you have done to Lebanon will overwhelm you, and your destruction of animals will terrify you. For you have shed man's blood. You have destroyed lands and cities and everyone in them. Of what value is an idol, since a man has carved it, or an image that teaches lies? For he who makes it trusts in his own creation. He makes idols that cannot speak. Woe to him who says to wood, "Come to life," or to lifeless stone, "Wake up." Can it give guidance? It is covered with gold and silver. There is no breath in it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand, where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled. The age-old hills collapsed. His ways are eternal. I saw the tents of Kishon in distress, the dwellings of Midian in anguish. Were you angry with the rivers, O Lord? Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the sea when you rode with your horses and your victorious chariots? You uncovered your bow. You called for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. Torrents of water swept by. The deep roared and lifted its waves on high. Sun and moon stood still in the heavens at the glint of your flying arrows, at the lightning of your flashing spear. In wrath, you strode through the earth, and in anger, you threshed the nations. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. With his own spear, you pierced his head. when his warriors stormed out to scatter us, gloating as though about to devour the wretched who were in hiding. You trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waters. I heard, and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Habakkuk is writing at a time when it seems like everything's fallen apart. He looks around at his own culture and he sees people who ought to know better. Who ought to know better. And they are behaving so horribly. They can't believe God just puts up with it. He says, Lord, your eyes are too pure to look at sin. How long will you just stand there and not deal with what's going on? He begins this prophecy with his complaint. He says, God, it's bad. Why do you make me look at injustice? In other words, I don't want to see this stuff, but I can't miss it. It keeps coming to my attention. I keep seeing what's wrong. Why do you tolerate wrong? Stop and think about that. Have you ever looked at the world and said, you know, if God is good, why does he let this stuff happen? Where was God when this happened? Where was God when that happened? Why does God tolerate wrong? That's what Habakkuk wanted to know. And God didn't shut him down. God inspired even the questions. They're good questions. They're questions that should be asked. If you don't realize that what's going on in the world is a mess, you're a mess. If you don't realize when you look around at the evil, the violence, the sexual perversion, the drunkenness, all the stuff that is typical in our culture. If you don't see that and say, well, that ain't right, then something's wrong with you. That's the way we say it in East Tennessee, if you haven't realized that. It's not good English, but it's good Tennessee. Well, that ain't right. Can you say that? Well, that ain't right. Oh, one more time. Well, that ain't right. It's not. It's not right. It's not supposed to be that way. It is a mess. So where's God? Habakkuk doesn't say, I'm not sure there's a God. He knows there's a God. His question is, why is God not intervening? Why isn't God doing something about all the wickedness that he's seeing every day? And so he asks God, which is a great thing to do with your questions. You know, I often wonder about, well, why don't you ask God? I mean, he's real. And you'd be amazed at how he can answer your questions through his word. Habakkuk asked. And God answered. Wow, here comes an answer from God. What's he going to say? God says, I am doing something absolutely amazing. You're going to be astounded by what I do. That sounds good. God says, I'm raising up the Babylonians to punish the people for their wickedness. And it's like, Your what? The Babylonians? God, the Babylonians? Really? They're horrible. They're worse than we are. And God says, I know, I know. And God describes how horrible the Babylonians are. And he says, but they're going to be my instrument to punish my people for their sin. That is not the answer I was looking for. That is not what I hoped would happen. And so when the Lord says he's going to use the Babylonians, Habakkuk doesn't just accept that and go away. His name means to wrestle. And so he wrestles with God a little bit. He comes back with a second attempt. Okay? I asked God a question. God gave me an answer. Ooh, it really wasn't the answer I was looking for. So let's try this again. Chapter 1, verse 12. Oh Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, we will not die. Oh Lord, you have appointed them to execute judgment. I get that. Oh Rock, you have ordained them to punish. I got that. Lord, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. I know, God, that you hate evil. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? That's the question. That's what Habakkuk wants to know. God, why would you use somebody who's more wicked than we are to punish us? I'm not saying we're not wicked. I'm not saying we don't deserve punishment. I'm saying the Babylonians? If you're sitting here this morning and you don't understand why such a message would be on Pastor Wood's heart, I'll be glad to talk with you later. But let me tell you, there's horrible, horrible wickedness in our culture. We're not the Jews. We're not ancient Israel. We are not the tribe of Judah. But we are a people who have been singularly blessed by God. We have an astounding legacy in this country. And it's absolutely gone to waste. People have totally forsaken the most basic elements of sanity. And if you try to explain to folks, here's what's wrong, tons and tons of our fellow citizens are like, huh? What? Well, I mean, who can say? I mean, judge not, lest ye be judged. So God, what are you going to do? How can you just stand by, God, and watch that stuff happen? Oh, God says, oh, listen, believe me, I'm going to deal with it. So you're going to raise up somebody really righteous and good to lead? God says, no, that's not actually what I have in mind. I'm going to raise up. This is what he told Habakkuk. I'm not saying this is what he's saying to America, though it does seem to fit, at least in my opinion. God says, I'm going to raise up somebody who is so stinking awful that it's going to be embarrassing. And that is going to be judgment on the land. Well, let me tell you, in the case of Habakkuk and the Babylonians and God's Old Testament covenant people, what happened was not just unpleasantness and embarrassing headlines. What happened was bloodshed, famine. I mean really, really, really tough stuff. The kind of stuff that we've grown up thinking could never happen to us. Because I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free for now. Let me just tell you something. My master's is in history. And if you look at what has happened throughout history, you see that once proud people get devastated time and again. Everything's going fine. Really, we'll be okay. That's what they said on the Titanic.
Pastor Wood, are you trying to depress us?
No. I'm trying to be sure that we're grounded in God's word so that we understand our security is not in a political system or an economic system. It's not in whatever Ms. Yellen at the Fed decides. That's not where our security comes from. It's not in the fact that we can grow crops. Our security is in the Lord. Our security has got to be in Him. Habakkuk says, verse 17 of chapter 1, is he to keep on emptying his net, destroying nations without mercy? That's his question to God. Then he says, I'll stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he, that is God, will say to me and what answer I'm to give to this complaint. Okay, God, I know you heard me. I'm asking you again, are you going to really keep letting this kind of thing happen where the Babylonians go out and violently oppress? Is that really what your plan is? Then the Lord replied, I'm going to deal with the Babylonians too. They're going to be brought down. That's God's answer. That's what chapter 2 is about. God says, you know, yeah, he looks really proud. He looks really arrogant. He looks really powerful. It's going to be brought down low. God promises that he will do that to the ruler of the Babylonians. But you know what? By the way, if you want to know more about that, read the book of Daniel. They had a ruler named Nebuchadnezzar who was ruthless. He's being described here. He was God's man. He was chosen by God, a crazy man chosen by God in order to punish God's people. And guess what happened? He ended up having a complete psychotic break and living like an animal outdoors. And his hair got really wild. Nebuchadnezzar's I'm talking about. Okay? And I mean, he was a mess. His fingernails grew out and they were like claws. And I mean, he literally was like an animal. Until God gave him sanity once again, and he repented. So even proud, powerful people can be brought low and humbled by God. Oh, absolutely. But this isn't just about Nebuchadnezzar. It's also about stuff that's to come in the future. Don't worry. God's got the whole thing mapped out, and it turns out, and you need to get this, God's in control. God is in control. So, the Lord says that he's going to judge those violent, aggressive, prideful, selfish, greedy, sensual, intoxicated people. What's going to happen? God's going to deal with it. He's going to deal with his people. That's where judgment starts. It begins with the house of God. And God's going to deal with those he used to bring judgment on the house of God. So in chapter 3, Habakkuk responds to God's response. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. God, I get it. You're going to pour out your wrath. But oh, in the midst of the wrath, please remember mercy. Because God, you're not just a God of wrath. You're a God of mercy too. Please, Lord, Let us see your mighty works on our behalf. Show your mercy. Show your strength. Lord, please do this. And then he describes the vision God gave him of God's judgment coming. Look at verse 3 through 7. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and his praise filled the skies. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. I'm liking this so far, aren't you? I mean, that really sounds good. Oh, God, you're glorious. You're mighty. Light is shining out. This is going to be great. Here comes our God. Verse 5. Plague went before him. What? Plague went before him. Well, that doesn't sound good. Pestilence followed his steps. Our glorious God manifests himself, and going before him is a plague and coming behind him is pestilence. That's all kinds of problems. How can that be God? I'm sorry, but this is not what I was hoping for. This is what God showed Habakkuk to expect. When God shows up, he's magnificent. Circumstances can be ugly. Do you remember when God led his people out of Egypt? Before he led them out, things got worse for them in Egypt. And when he led them out, he led them in such a way that it looked like they were lost, and then brought them to a place where they couldn't go forward, and the enemy army was closing in behind them. And God's the one who got them there. What is going on? It was God's plan for their deliverance. And they went through the Red Sea on dry land. God will often display his glory by putting his people in situations where we're desperate and we have no answer except for him. When God was going to reveal his anointed servant, David, and cause all Israel to recognize what God had already had Samuel the prophet recognize, and that is that David is the next king. How did he do it? He did it by raising up a giant who was bigger than anybody that they had seen, who defied them and mocked their God. But that became the opportunity. When after a time of day after day humiliation on the part of Israel's army, that became the opportunity for David to hear the taunts of Goliath and say, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would rail against the armies of the Most High God?" And he went out there with a slingshot, and Goliath came a tumbling down. Why? Because God loves to put his people in a situation where our only hope is something supernatural. Only God can deliver us. I don't care where you live. I don't care what country you're from. I don't care what problem you're facing. God puts his people in situations where we don't have any other hope. Because all other hopes are idols, and they're all in vain. God is the only one who can save. So, God came and he delivered his people, but he did it with great destruction, not sweetly tiptoeing in and making everything spring up in daisies. Verse 16, I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for what? For the day of calamity. Do you remember what we were studying before you went on break? 2 Peter ends up with chapter 3. What's going to happen according to 2 Peter chapter 3? Everything's going to burn up. And what is our response? Oh no, please don't let it happen in my lifetime. No, we eagerly hasten the day because we know that there's a new heavens and a new earth coming. And that the reason that it hasn't already happened is because God is merciful and He's giving time for more people to repent. So Habakkuk says, I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Verse 17 and following, a very famous and wonderful passage that you all ought to memorize. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. He says, if I lose everything materially, my bank account's wiped out, my retirement account evaporates, my health is destroyed, if I lose it all, I'm still going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm still going to rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because God is my salvation. That's where my strength comes from. That's where my joy comes from. That's what it's all about. Everything else is temporary. It's all temporary. It's all going to burn. Got it? The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. He allows me to come near to Him. That is why I'm rejoicing. Well, that was interesting, Pastor Wood. Thank you for that. I hope you feel better tomorrow. Folks, we're not talking about feelings. We're talking about what has always been true. People are a mess, including you and me. God alone is our salvation. Our hope is in the Lord. Well, I was hoping maybe God was going to change our circumstances and we would have lots of cattle and lots of sheep and lots of olives and lots of grapes and it was all just going to be abundant. God does that sometimes. And when He does, we ought to thank Him for it. But don't ever think that that is the only way God blesses. Sometimes God blesses and answers prayer by sending pestilence and plague and storm and pain because it's what we need. The Apostle Paul said it was because God loved him that He gave him a thorn in the flesh. Something to keep him in a position of complete dependence upon the Lord. He said, it tormented me. It was a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it from me. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. If you're in a position where you feel like my only hope is the Lord, you're in a good place. If you're in a situation where you feel like God needs to do something, let me assure you, God is at work. If you're in a situation where it seems like, God, how can you look at this and not act? Just because you can't see what God is doing doesn't mean that God isn't already working His plan. He says, I'm raising up the Babylonians. Man, I never would have written that story. I never would have gone to God and said, hey, I've got an idea. How about you raise up a wicked, wicked, ruthless, selfish, idolatrous king? and use him as your servant. But God likes to do stuff like that. Not because he likes sin, but because God makes it very clear he alone is righteous. He alone can save. And God will save all who trust in him. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for making it possible for us to know you. You've revealed yourself in creation. You've revealed yourself in your written word, and you've revealed yourself perfectly and completely and finally in the person of Jesus Christ. Now grant that we would manifest the life of Christ, that his life would flow through us, and we will give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.